Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
Hey church, how are you doing in this new normal living? It's certainly a time of adjusting, isn't it? And those of you that know me well know that I don't like to be still. So I'm like one of those people that, you know, they want to walk up the travelator. Like I'm just one of those people, especially, the flat travelators at the airport. Like, fair enough, at Maya here in Albury, the travelator is an incline. I can grant you that if you're staying on that for a ride, free ride up the hill. But seriously, especially at the airports where you're on those flat travelators, I just look at people who are standing on them. Like, the idea is that they're supposed to move you forward faster, so you would walk on them. So that's just my personality type there. But it's a good time, isn't it, for all of us, and especially me, to develop some of the fruits of the Spirit, like peace and patience and gentleness and all those great things. And I have to give myself daily pep talks to chill, girl. It's okay. You don't have to be doing something every minute, but that's just the way that I'm wired. But it's good to give ourselves permission to relax and to enjoy this season that we're in, even though we mightn't want to be in it. And Pastor Jason brought a great message last week about the seasons and how we're going to come through this season. And I want to just continue on from that theme today. And I want to talk to you about how are we going to come through it and what our part is to play in it, what the part that God has for us to play in this season, and how are we living in it right now while we are waiting. So, but before I really get into my message, I just want to stir you up in your faith. You know, I love to preach faith. And it says in the book of John, there's actually Jesus says seven statements in the book of John about who he is. And I want to stir your faith up this morning and just really quickly go through all these statements of these declarations of who God is. He says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever believes in me will never hunger or thirst again. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever believes in me will never walk in darkness. In John 10:9, it says, I am the door. Enter by me. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life. Jess was just talking about that. For the sheep. John 11:25 and 26 says, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will never die. And that we just celebrated that at Easter time. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me, through Jesus. John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. That's us, church. If anyone remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Yes, even in this season, he will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And that is often interpreted, we can do nothing of eternal value without being attached to the vine. So, woohoo, this is who our God is, church. And I hope that stirred up your faith. You know, all he is all we need, is all we need. So I don't know about you, but often in life, you know, in these days that we're living in right now, and even prior to this, you know, we can want God or expect God to take us out of the difficult times or take the unpleasant things, the unpleasant circumstances. God, we pray them away. We try and pray them away. But you know what? Actually, we need to do is to bring God into them, bring God into our circumstances, bring God into our lives every day, into whatever it is that we're going through. You know, Jesus was in the boat with the disciples when the storm arose. He wasn't on the land. He was actually sleeping in the boat when the storm rose up. He was with the disciples in the midst of the storm. And we are called, church, to walk by faith and not by sight. It says that in 2 Corinthians 5:7. This is a time for us to dig a well. I believe this is God's word for us. Do you know, bit of Old Testament history, Isaac went back and he dug up wells. He dug up the old wells I'll give you a bit of background here. The Philistines, the armies of God's people, the enemies, sorry, of God's people, they'd filled in all the wells in the desert because they didn't want the children of Israel to have water. They wanted to render their wells useless. So they filled them all in with clay and dirt. And Isaac, he went back and he dug up the wells again. And he renamed them the same name. He named each of the wells the same name of as what his father Abraham had called them. And I really feel to stir you up with that word. God is calling us to dig up the old wells. The ancient paths is another scripture that talks about that. Return to the ancient paths. Returning again to the foundation of our faith. This is our time to dig deeper. And my Bible tells me that Jesus is a well that never runs dry. You know, perhaps during this time when we can't gather together, just perhaps God is calling us to a deeper, more authentic, rubber hits the road kind of relationship and trust in His Word. Could it be, maybe, just maybe, BC, before coronavirus happened? Yes, we could gather together at church. And it was wonderful. But in some ways, were we taking that for granted? In some ways, were we going through the motions? In some ways, were we becoming too familiar with God's presence, with God's house? Do you know, familiarity, that's the hardest word in the English vocabulary to say, can breed not only contempt, but complacency. Yes, we were coming to church, but were we just content to come for a cup of water? But God is saying that's not going to be enough, church, in the days ahead. A cup of water no longer will sustain us for the days ahead. No longer will it sustain us. But God wants us to dig a well, not just for ourselves, but also for those around us. Come on, church, a cup of water cannot be shared very far, nor can it really sustain a true thirst. And I thank God that in these times, that He's using these current times to awaken our spirits afresh to a renewed faith, a renewed strength, a new desire and need for Him, for Jesus. And this can only come when we need to lean on Him, when His holy scriptures now come alive in a new way, and His presence and prayer becomes our source. I know a few times I have fallen asleep with my Bible. I've slept with my Bible because it's become so precious to me. I want to read it before I go to sleep at night. I want to thank God that He is with me, and I take great courage from it. I thank God that He is causing us in these days to re-examine and re-evaluate our priorities so that there is lasting change in us well after the coronavirus and this isolation finishes and it passes. And I've been thinking a lot about the children of Israel and their example in the Bible. After God took them out of oppression, He used Moses to rescue them out of Egypt. They had to daily rely on God to get their daily manna, their toilet paper, their hand sanitizer, their food each day from heaven. It would literally, the manna would drop from heaven. Each day they got enough for that day. But what happened to them after they were rescued out of that severe slavery that they were under? They got tired of being in the wilderness. They got tired of eating the manna, the same thing every day, and they started to complain. They actually said to Moses, "It would have been better if you let us stay in Egypt." They wanted to go back to the good food, the leeks and the good Greek food, the Greeks and the onions, and the security and the comfort of what they had known became more familiar to them. They wanted to go back to what was familiar. And trust me, aren't there? There's so many things that we are looking forward to going back to. I'm guilty of that. I'm looking forward to going back to catching up for coffee with my friends. I'm looking forward to church when we can gather again. I bet the parents are all looking forward to the schools opening again. I hear a big amen from all the parents who are currently homeschooling. But you know, my prayer is that some things will never be the same. that some things will never go back to the way they were before in Jesus' name. And I'm talking about our faith. I'm talking about what God is doing in the hearts of His true church and those that believe in Him, and what He's also doing across the earth, and that so many are coming to know Him in these days. You know, today we are still God's modern day children of Israel. We are the children of Australia. We are the children of God of Africa. We are the children of God of every nation across the world. And we are not unlike the children of Israel that I just spoke about. So let's not be foolish and not learn from what we are currently going through. When this isolation lifts and the busyness of life returns again, that we would then return or go back to neglecting what's of eternal value. Say it with me, church. Don't go back. I'm not going back. Don't go back. And you know, I want to just, I was really stirred up, as you can see, in my faith in these times. And you know, dare I say it, that some, because we're not able to do what we normally do, you know, I know some parents that their whole life they're running their kids here and there, and their whole life is consumed. It's like your children are running your life. You don't have any time for yourself, yet alone anyone else, yet alone God. Maybe it's you and your business. You know, you're so busy, and it's a genuine thing. Running a business is a busy thing, but work commitments can get in the way of God. They can come before the place of God. Tiredness, because we're so busy doing these other things, I'll just miss church next week. I'm too tired to go to church, you know. And I want to just again address the parents. You know, your kids will survive with a little bit less activity. I'm sure that, I know we're all looking forward to going back to normal, but you know, it's good also to teach our children how to be self-entertained, how to entertain themselves, how to be a little bit quieter, that you don't need to be running them always here, there and everywhere. You know what I'm saying? I'll leave it at that. But make no mistake, church, we are part of an unshakable kingdom. Though all around might be shaking, on Christ, the solid rock, we are to stand. And when all around is shaking, we need to take action. This is our part. We need to act accordingly. We need to pray accordingly. You know, it says in James 5:17 that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3 years. And then he prayed again and it did rain. And there's a reason for that. If you're listening and thinking that's a weird story, look it up in James 5:17. Or in the Old Testament, actually, the full story. You know, God is not indifferent in these days, and we ought not to be indifferent also. Did you know, church, that we as God's people have the power to release what He says in faith across the earth? It says in Matthew 18:18, that whatever you, that's you, church, whatever you bind on earth through prayer is bound in heaven. Now is definitely not the time for us to be silent. We are to participate. We are to prophesy. I hear the sound of the army of the Lord, church. Do you? Do you? A true army who watch and see what God is wanting to do on the earth and get in alignment with that. Matthew 11:12 says, "The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Yes, at the moment, it is a time where we're resting from our normal activities. Some of us still are able to work. I'm grateful that I'm able to still work at the salon. But we're not resting in the spiritual fight of faith. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us who believe also, and the Bible tells us that it does, then just perhaps God is looking for His people to actually speak and live and walk in the fullness and truth of that, to drive back the powers of darkness that are coming against the earth, and to pray through to see a victory. I love that song that we sing, "I See a Victory." You know, we're to pray. We're to pray for our brothers and sisters in China. You know that there's a whole underground church in China. Everyone is cursing China at the moment. We need to pray for our Chinese brothers and sisters. We need to pray for our leaders and our Prime Minister and all his advisors. And we need to pray that he will have the wisdom that the restrictions that are on us will not lift 1 minute too early or 1 minute too late. Faith is what pleases God and arrests his attention. There's a whole chapter in Hebrews 11 that specifically mentions God's people from the Bible by name who activated and received the promises through faith. And I don't know about you, but I want to be counted with those names who exemplified and activated faith during the time of coronavirus and beyond. Now, as I come to a close, I'm going to read two passages that are actually going to be our word of the week this week. Do you know that there's only two examples in the Bible where it says that Jesus marveled? And he marveled at two examples of faith. And I just want to read from Luke chapter 7 from verse 1. And it's about the centurion. And it says, now when he, Jesus, concluded all his sayings, he entered Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, this is the centurion, he sent elders of the Jews to Jesus, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one from whom he should do this was deserving. They said, look, this centurion is worthy of you going to visit him, Jesus. He's done a lot for us. He even built a synagogue for us. And so they're asking Jesus to go and pray for this centurion's servant. So Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy for you to come into my house. I don't even think that I'm worthy, but just say the word and I know that my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority. And it goes on. Now, when Jesus heard what the centurion, the message that he sent him, it says he marveled at him and he turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent returned to the house, found that the servant was made well at Jesus' word. Jesus marveled at the faith of the centurion, and it's recorded in the Bible. Now we're going to look very quickly at another passage where Jesus marveled. And again, this is in Mark chapter 6, verse 1. He went out. Again, Jesus went out. He was always on the move. He went out and he came to his own country. This time he went back to his home town. Everyone knew Jesus in his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished. See, wherever Jesus spoke, people were amazed at what he said, because he spoke the words of God. And they'd said, where did this man get this wisdom, and how does he know these things? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and Joseph? We know Jesus. He's just a carpenter. He builds houses. And so they were offended that the Jesus that they knew, spoke with authority and with wisdom. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own relatives and in his own house. And he could not do many mighty miracles there, except that he healed a few sick. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And again, we hear that word marveled. Jesus marveled again, but not because of their great faith, but because these people grew too familiar with him. I spoke about that earlier, our familiarity that we can have that can cut off the flow of faith. Jesus marveled. And the centurion's faith is what activated a miracle. His faith activated that miracle. I don't know. I want Jesus to marvel at my faith in these days. Don't you? Don't you want Jesus to marvel at your faith. And as I was preparing this message, I really felt to give a shout out to Watto and to Rachel Webb, and that God sees you and He loves your faith, your sincere faith. And I want to let you know that I'm praying for you guys. And also, you know, I want to give a shout out also to, I had a word for Mark and Kate Wade and their business a couple of weeks ago, and it was about the dry bones in the valley. And Ezekiel spoke to the dry bones, and I want to speak this word over all our business owners in the church and beyond, anyone watching. If you own a business at this time and you're worried, God wants you to know to speak and prophesy over those dry bones of your business right now, and believe that God will supernaturally provide. The Lord wants you to know that the Lord will provide for you in these days. The Lord will provide. That is His promise to you. And your part is to prophesy over your business. Speak to the dry bones and bring into being, speak into being what you need to see happen. At the moment, I'm speaking over the bones in my back. I got a diagnosis that wasn't great about my back. And again, a shout out to Scott, a great chiropractor in our area. He's working on me and it's getting better. But I'm speaking to the bones in my back every night and I'm telling them to come into alignment. And also, when I go to the supermarket, I felt the Holy Spirit say, not only am I speaking protection over myself when I go out, but everyone in that supermarket when I go in there, I believe is covered by the blood of Christ, because I am one of God's children and I am in there, and that they receive the benefit of that. I'm speaking faith wherever I go at the moment. And my challenge to you, if you're watching right now and you don't know if you really believe in God and all this faith stuff, you don't know if God is really real or if He is there, God says in His word that He will always be found by those who seek Him. It's a promise from His word that if we actively seek God, that He will be found. And if we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. And right now, I liken faith to be a little bit like the coronavirus. You know, we can't see the virus, but it's everywhere. And you can either choose to believe it's there and act accordingly to the restrictions or not. It's everywhere, but we can't see it. And I want to tell you that for sure, God's presence and His Holy Spirit is everywhere, right across the earth, but we can't see it, but we know that He is moving. We're living in cray-cray times, really crazy times. So now is the time, church, to be counted as the cray-cray Christians who are going to believe and stand on unshakable faith, who will believe that God is moving and working across the earth, in and through and for His people and across the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Pastor Jace.
Wowie, wow, wow, wow. What an absolute powerhouse. Honey, you are so awesome. You are so passionate. You're so mighty in the things of God. Thank you so much for that wonderful word. I was so inspired, as I know that everybody watching this live and also the replay will be inspired also. I love her so much, and we love you. We want you to know that we miss you. And as we begin to close our broadcast today, we really do want to give someone the opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ for salvation and the forgiveness of sins. You know, I found myself thinking very in the early hours of this morning just about my life before I came to salvation. And just different chapters that took place. There was a time when I just dabbled. I wanted to try some things, you know, things that I had never tried before. So I had a good go at alcohol one night. I had a good go at taking drugs one night. And just a number of other things that I'm not proud of. Things that I did before I came to salvation in Christ. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm sure like you, I saw a lot, and there's a great passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 14, and it says, it's written by someone who was considered one of the wisest men who ever walked the face of the earth, King Solomon, and he said, and he had done a lot, he said, I have seen all the works that are done under the heavens, and indeed all is vanity, 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 and a grasping for the wind. I have to admit, even though I had nothing like King Solomon had, I have to admit that I had seen a lot, as I'm sure that many of you have also seen a lot. The good, the bad, and the ugly. You've seen a lot. And personally speaking, when I looked for, you know, to feel that void that was in my heart, that void that was in my spirit, it's like nothing on the earth could fill it. Nothing. So many things have the appearance of looking good, like the fruit that looked good to Eve's and Adam's eyes. But of course, as they partook of the fruit, it didn't leave them feeling very satisfied at all. I just want to say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, according to John chapter 14, verse 6. You know, my wife, Pastor Trina, spoke about the resurrection of Jesus. Perhaps you're watching this broadcast today and you're far from God, or perhaps you're a non-believer, perhaps you're someone who walked by faith once upon a time, but for whatever reason you've wandered from the path. We just want you to know and or remind you that what separates what we believe from every other faith in the world is the fact that our God came in the likeness of sinful man. Even though he was sinless, he came in the likeness of Jesus Christ, walked amongst us, predicted his own death and resurrection 3 days later. You know, we've had many people come, as the scripture actually says, in the last days, many will come professing that they are a God. We've had many profess that they are a God, but only one person has professed this and risen from the dead, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to submit to you this thought today. You know, I really do believe that we serve a great and a mighty and a powerful God. And if he's so great and if he's so mighty and if he's so powerful, then I believe that that God, because of his great love towards you, wants to reveal himself to you. We don't serve a wussy God. I know that we can sometimes wear a cross around our neck or in our ears or get a tattoo, and that's cool. But even though we can reduce the cross to something small, the power of the cross is beyond our imagination. I want to give someone the opportunity today to respond to Jesus. And the way that we're going to do this is by inviting you to pray a prayer after me. I really believe that right now that the Holy Spirit is wanting to reveal Jesus Christ to you. If you know, for whatever reason, that you're not where you ought to be in your faith, and even if you don't totally understand everything about Jesus or the gospel, the good news is you don't have to. Jesus said you just have to have a little bit of faith, and God says that he can do a lot with a little. So if I'm talking to you today, why don't you pray this prayer after me right now? Are you ready to pray? Let's pause. Let's remove the distractions. Let's lean in to the screen right now. And why don't you pray after me? Are you ready? I believe someone watching this is so ready right now. And I believe and declare that it's your day. It's a new day. Father, in Jesus' name, you pray after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you this day. And I humbly ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me on the inside. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to be the person that you've created me to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every single person who prayed that prayer today. Lord, you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are the creator, Lord, of all things, every human being, every animal, every tree, the birds of the air. Lord, you are powerful. And because you're so powerful, I pray, dear God, that people would not just know about you, like they hear about the Queen, or as they hear about our Prime Minister. I pray, Lord God, that they would personally encounter your power, because I know, Lord, if they personally encounter you, that they'll be changed forever, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, for my brother out there, for my sister. Lord, even though I may not know all of them, I thank you that you love them and that they're blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We really want to thank you for joining our broadcast today. Once again, I want to say thank you to my team. I love my team so much. I love my church so much. On behalf of my wife, Pastor Trin, and myself, I want you to know that we miss you. We love you. We're constantly praying for you. Keep an eye out for our Facebook to see, or Instagram or Twitter, just to check out some updates there and what's coming up. And we're always working on some new things. And the great news is this, thanks to my brother Richard, Marcelo's brother, he has been able to organize and build some plugins for our webpage. And so now you don't even have to be on Facebook to watch the Facebook Live broadcast. You can go to gatewaylifechurch.org.au, and right now this broadcast is taking place there. So thank you so much, Richard. Praise God. And hey, I just really believe also that this is a great day. Pastor Trina, that was such a great word. And it's a great day to stir ourselves up in the things of God and in our faith. But it's a great day to connect with people all over the world as well. So remember, why don't you consider taking a short video and sending that to us. We would love to receive those. And thank you so much. Asante sana. Squash banana. Salamat. God bless you. Have a great day. And we'll see you real soon. Hashtag on the line. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. We hope you were equipped, encouraged, and empowered. To stay engaged or to learn more about us, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. We hope to see you soon.